Well, we're going to look at a little bit of the giving of Holy Spirit this morning. Because, you know, as we were remembering, you know, the Passover, you know, the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection, this would be kind of the time period back then that a lot of it was talked about, but it wasn't given yet. But now we have a distinct advantage where we are now, having it on the day of Pentecost, God pouring it out and being able to receive Holy Spirit. So we're going to look a little bit about the promise, the gift, the comfort, and the power and the witness of the Holy Spirit. So your first scripture you'll go to is Acts chapter 2, but I'm going to read a few things in the intro. Now, of God's promise, you know, his word is his will, and if he, and in the scripture there is lots of prophecy about Holy Spirit being given. So wouldn't that be a promise as well if God says it? You know, when he's, you know, when the conditions are met and it happens, that would be a promise, and he keeps his promise, unlike me. Although our intentions may not be not to, you know, break a promise, but it happens sometimes. But God never does. His word is his will. So, in Isaiah 53, God speaks of his righteous servant, whose form will be marred beyond recognition, a man who is despised and rejected, acquainted with our sickness and sins. However, we esteemed him not. Our chastisement was laid on him, so we could have peace with God, and by his stripes we are healed. He opened not his mouth in protest, and he was cut out of the land of the living and made his grave with the wicked. But God shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. And in Jeremiah 31, God said, God will make a new covenant, not like the old one, the one which God was a husband to the children of Israel and took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, the covenant that Israel continually broke. In this new covenant, God would put the law in their inward parts and write them on their hearts. For all shall know the Lord. God would forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. And when I forgot, of course, the very beginning, Genesis 3:15, talks about a woman. It says, God would put the enmity between the devil and the woman, between his seed and the woman's seed, or the promised Christ. The woman's seed shall bruise the devil's head, while the devil will bruise the heel of the Christ, of the Savior. And there's one in Joel, but we're going to read it in Acts 2:14. I'm going to read a little bit here. And it says, and this is the day of Pentecost, after the people that were there heard the apostles speak in tongues, right? And they go, what is going on here? What is this? This is something never seen before. But that was also prophesied in the scriptures. But verse 14 says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. What a wonderful promise or prophecy coming to pass. And Peter says, this is that. Shouldn't be surprised. In verse 29, going to read a few more here. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, He, Jesus, hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. How wonderful is that, huh? Having received the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. So it was a promise. Verse 34. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. For the promise, you receive the gift of that Holy Spirit, and for that promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So it's been talked about a promise, a free gift, and that they shall receive it. Now, how wonderful is that? And it is promised to the children, but verse 39 says, for the promise unto you and your children. Back in Matthew, in one of the records, when Pilate brought Jesus Christ out, and he said, oh, I find no fault in him. You know, what shall we do with him? You know, should we let him go or let Barabbas go? And they said, crucify him, crucify him, speaking of Jesus. And he goes, I find no fault in him. And he washes his hands. And they said, and the people said, put the blame, his blood, on us and our children. So in spite of that, God's like, here, it's to your children. Even though they were certainly worthy of the blame and the fault. I mean, all mankind is. But especially at that moment. He said, nah, instead of that, you're going to get the promise of receiving the Holy Spirit. What a 180 turnaround, huh? Okay. Romans chapter 5. See more about this gift, or that it's called a gift. And you know, a gift is something we don't earn. We couldn't do it. We couldn't pay for it. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Sorry, you know, you're disqualified. It would be a very, very, very short group or list of people. Actually, it'd be zero. Jesus Christ, if not Sid. Okay. Chapter 5, verse 14. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure or the type of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And this gift is Holy Spirit. It's a package deal. We know that. I may be highlighting certain areas, but comes with a boatload of benefits and perks, right? We know that, right? We get, you know, we got 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We're redeemed. We're sanctified. We're, you know, free from sin, just as if we didn't sin. And we'll see that there's hope, and there's so much stuff rolled up into this thing. But I may be just highlighting some of the things. But this free gift is a huge package deal. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive an abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And that the free gift there and came is in italics in the King James Version, but it's accurately supplied. It's speaking of that free gift. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 12. Oh, I'm wrong. Chapter 1, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of God's glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We were sealed. We're marked out. God says, that's mine. Yeah. And we'll see. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his or God's glory. We're purchased. We're bought with the blood of Christ. God says, that's mine. And that, and you know, that word earnest is the word arabon, which means a small, like, down payment on a much larger thing to come. Like, I don't know, kind of, it was actually kind of a legal term. Like, you buy a house, they give you the keys, you know, you got the key, you can't live in the key, but the key opens the door to the house. And this is it. This Holy Spirit is just a small token of the greater things that are to come. But that small token of this Holy Spirit, which is free and it was promised, is we have so much to do, right? We have Holy Spirit power. We could, everybody prayed about it. We could go to God, right? We could, at any time, we're sanctified. We're, you know, we're God's possession. We're His, and we have so many great things. Speak in tongues. We could get people born again. Unbelievable. Okay, chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Whoa, flipped too many pages there, sorry. "For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." And we were made alive together, we were raised together, and we were seated together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, and this is of God, and of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's going to take ages for God to show his exceeding riches of his grace. And then in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." How wonderful. And you know, basically in protocol, if I wronged Donnie, then it would be up to me to make it right. Mankind has wronged God. Because Adam was the type of mankind. He was the representative. So it would be on mankind to make it right. But we can't. There's nothing we can do to make it right. So God offered Christ to make it right. And it's a free gift. We certainly didn't deserve it. And we can't buy it. But we could be very thankful we got it. And as many people pray, just to learn how to enjoy it more, to grow in it. What a great and wonderful thing. Okay, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'm going to look a little bit about the comfort of this gift of Holy Spirit, this promised gift. Verse 12. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." This is Jesus Christ talking. Did Jesus Christ go unto his Father? Mm-hmm. Greater things we can do. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. And that another comforter, that another is similar, but not the same exact thing. Like, Jesus Christ, you know, God didn't send another man that we all kind of want to hang out with. I'm sure, like, the apostles and people did want it with Jesus Christ, but when Jesus Christ went to the bathroom, he wasn't with them, right? When Jesus Christ was on the mount praying, he sent the apostles away, you know, he wasn't with them, right? And that's why they were upset when he said he had to go, you know. But I think it even says later on, he says, it's expedient, it's good that I go away. So he could send that other comforter. And that comforter is calling someone alongside to aid, you know, like as an advocate or someone who speaks on your behalf, you know. So what a great thing, mm-hmm. of the giving of that Holy Spirit within that. Let's keep reading that. Verse 17. The Spirit of truth, which was that another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In verse 16, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that word comfortless is orphaned. You know, he's not saying I'm going away and, you know, you're on your own, you figure it out. And who did Jesus Christ said his was his Father? God. And if he left, like, you know, we're not being, you know, actually we're being brought into the family in a much greater way. Instead of being servants, you know, at that point, you know, we are now children. You know, he didn't leave us orphaned. He didn't leave us alone. He didn't abandon us. He made it available to be with God forever. Mm-hmm. Which is a great, great thing. Okay, let's go to chapter 1 of John. Going to look a little bit about the witness and the power of this gift of Holy Spirit, this promised gift. This is just an interesting thing that I wanted to share, verses 6 through 8 of chapter 1 of John. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not John Sloan. Although he could apply, he would probably be the one I would think would apply. Verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And I was thinking of that. I know John the Baptist had a very unique ministry. When does it say that he received Holy Spirit, or not received Spirit?
From birth.
Right. While he was still in, right? While he was a kid. Okay. Did he heal people?
No.
It may have been not recorded. Did he feed 5,000 people with a, you know, a loaf of bread or whatever, fishes? Yeah. What did he do? He gave witness to the light. He spoke and he was very convicted, even to the point he said what God wanted him to say. And it cost him at that time, you know, his head, you know. But God speaks about people that are beheaded in the name of Christ. Great things for them. But so, you know, it was like, I know sometimes, want to do miraculous things. Just bear witness to the light. That's it. That's all you need. And I think Jesus Christ said that there was no prophet like him. Right? Did I get that right? I may have.
None.
Anyway.
Like men.
What's that?
None greater.
None greater. Okay, thank you. So, pretty good deal, right? So we don't have to, like.
Indeed.
remove mountains from the ocean, but, you know, bear witness to the light and of the great privilege and things that we have from God. Luke chapter 24. Just go back a little bit. So then he said unto them, this is Jesus Christ speaking to the apostles, basically it's a day of ascension. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me, or the Christ. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's interesting, because it has to do with a few verses back. Jesus Christ was walking with the two on the road to Emmaus, and he says that during that time he, beginning at Moses and unto the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And then later on, a few verses later, it says, the people, the two guys were counting, and it says that their heart did burn while he opened to us the scriptures. Okay? So opening the, you know, the scriptures to people, you know, giving witness of that, speaking of that. What a great thing where they could have a relationship with God. And they too can, you know, in a moment of time, get the Holy Spirit and go into heaven, and all hell can't stop you. And we saw it in Ephesians, right? You're sealed, you're marked out, you're bought and paid for by God with Christ, and you're heaven bound. And you, and that's what a what a wonderful thing. Verse 46. And he said unto them, then it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance of remission of sins and preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Where am I? I'm going to read a little bit more. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned in Jerusalem with great joy. So he said, like, wait here until the power. To the, you know, the power, you know, you are endued with power from on high. And we know now that this was 10 days later, day of Pentecost, when the outpouring of Holy Spirit, which we read in Acts. Right. Let's go with, oh, what you're going to read? Acts chapter 1. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And this is written on the other side of Christ being raised and giving Holy Spirit. But it's interesting what is written here. The former treaties or accounting or words that I have made, O Theophilus, or beloved of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of, to Israel? A lot of the conversations Jesus Christ had with the apostles, like Jesus Christ was talking up here, and they were like, huh? Like the one with the, was it the leaven of the Pharisees? And they say, oh, we forgot to bring bread. No, no, talking about doctrine, talking about the word. And he said unto them, verse 7, it's not of you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power when, that should be when, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It was when that power came on them, they became witnesses of that power. Was it, you know, the that he, you know, he did feed the people. You know, he goes, well, okay, because you saw that, now you are witnesses. And witnesses was used different ways. You know, it wasn't just a spectating, just a, oh, I saw that. It was, you give an account or a record of it, or in some of these cases, martyrdom, you know, or martyred, like John the Baptist. Okay. What else did I want to say? That's enough. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So, you know, we weren't there. I'll go out on a limb. No one saw Jesus Christ here in the flesh. Okay, we didn't see that. So what can we give witness to? What, you know, what is it that we are to be witness of? We received Spirit, right? What was the things, well, what attracted those people at that time, you know, after Pentecost, and then they spoke in tongues, all the people there were flipping out, like, what is this? You know, and this was that prophecy that Joel spoke about, that, you know, Spirit being poured out. And then what happened after that? You know, people get born again, and then there was that healing of the man at the temple gate, beautiful, right? Gold and silver have I none, but what I have, that's what I'm going to give you. And that's what we could give. We don't, you know, we have so much to offer. We are not nobodies with nothing to do, with no purpose. We have so much to offer, so much to give. And, you know, it's right here. We have Holy Spirit. And if people are like, oh, show me, you know, prove it. He said, you know, we could pray. I've seen a lot of those, watching some of those videos about street preachers. And they don't do any magic shows or anything, but the ones that are, I think, that are, you know, pure, they pray and they get, God, you know, show yourselves to this guy, that what they need, what this person, what they need. Okay? Or if you want to come to fellowship, like we had, you know, manifestations, right? And we're going to read about that. That's power. That's a demonstration. And we'll see that. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. And this, take all this in context, even though we're reading the end of it, right? We have Holy Spirit, nine manifestations, right? And this one is specifically speaking of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. But you could put that all in the same bucket, if you will. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and they and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you are mad? Right, so this is, you know, the tail end of showing not only the power that we have, but how to use it correctly. Okay, right, if we all speak in tongues and someone comes in here and says, what is going on here? Right, not only that, but in a language or a tongue that you don't know, or they may or may not know, so it's like, what, you know? But let's keep reading. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of the truth. Huh, what a witness, what a display of power, right? What a comfort. The right way to worship God and say that God is in you. Yes, I want some of that. I want some of that. And in 1 John chapter 5, we'll wind it up. Verse 9. 1 John 5, verse 9. Says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Huh? Can we all agree on that? I mean, man, smart, there's some intelligent men, there's some talented men, but we could speak of man, but how about let's give an account of God, right? Just a little bit better, I think, you know. We can, and the witness, and not only that, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he, God, hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. God's even saying, that's my Son, and this is what I've done. And so if we have that in ourselves, we have that witness of God. He that hath the witness in himself, he that believeth not God, hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, and that record is the same word as witness that God gave of his Son. Not a position I recommend taking anybody to disagree with God or to go against what God says. And we don't want to make him a liar. That's not a healthy position to be in. Verse 11, and this is the record or the witness that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So, you know, like I said, it's a package deal, and this Holy Spirit that was given, that was promised, that is, it's a gift, right? We didn't earn it. It's a comfort, and it comes with power, and it's just a small little token of what is yet to come. So, what a great day for God, I think, on the day of Pentecost when it was finally given. And he, I can imagine him just sighing and saying, yes, you know, and just, you know. And then, you know, because of what Jesus Christ did, because, you know, he gave his life, he perfectly served God and did, redeemed us. And then, you know, he was killed for that for us. He was the payment, the substitutionary payment for our sins, for mankind's. And God raised him from the dead. And then, you know, 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, phew, what a great thing for mankind, huh? What a great thing for God. He can have a family, and we can bear witness of that. We can demonstrate his power. We can enjoy the gift and the comfort, and we can share it with others. So that's what I wanted to share with you.